So this past week it was International Women's Day, Thursday I think it was, if I remember correctly. And around that theme, we have our guest speaker here today. The Reverend Fulgence Nagijimana is here. And Fulgence is an ordained Unitarian minister from Burundi in the central part of Africa. He discovered the liberating Unitarian faith power when he was going through a time of doubt and restlessness as a young Dominican brother on his way to priesthood. He went on to found a Unitarian church in Bujumbura, Burundi, and became its ordained minister in 2011. With the recent unrest in Burundi, the Unitarian church was targeted by the government, attacked and vandalized, and Reverend Fulgence was kidnapped, tortured, threatened to be killed and jailed. He managed to escape Burundi as a result of tremendous pressure from UUs around the world, who signed petitions, wrote letters to the government to release him, and later helped him leave the country. Reverend Fulgence Nagijimana is passionate about our liberal faith. He is the immediate former vice president of the International Council of Unitarians and Universalists. He's married to Therese and a proud father of Well Brown Buyenge. And at the conclusion of the talk this morning, Fulgence has asked that if we have questions, as we often do, that you'll just hang on to those for later downstairs, because we have a potluck today, and there'll be an opportunity to discuss. Welcome.
I was born and raised in a very small, remote village in the central part of Burundi. Until the age of 9, I was really raised by my mom, as my father was working in the city and would come home only once a month. My mom prepared food. She walked many kilometers to get water. She worked on the farm. She took care of the animals. And she managed her father-in-law, my grandfather, who lived on the same property. To this day, it's hard for me to imagine how she managed to do all those tasks, how she raised us, how she was able to send us to school, and still managed to have a smile on her face and kept her sanity. But she did. Today, at 88 years of age, she's still caring. She's still curious. She still wants to know about her grandchildren, including the one who is in Saskatoon and who cannot communicate with her due to a language barrier. She's curious about neighbors, and when I was leaving Saskatoon on my own, she kept asking me whether I was eating enough. Yes, I am still her boy. The story of my mom is the story of billions of women around the world who worked very hard, still work very hard to make sure their children have opportunities that they never had. She sent all of us to school, while other women decided to keep girls at home. My sisters are certainly very grateful for that. Today, they may not own the land, but they own their lives. They have negotiating powers with their husbands and with society that they would never have had if they have not gone to school. Are they proud of her? You bet. It's not that men do not work. At least in my case of, in the case of my father, he worked very hard. But the distribution of tasks seemed to be very unfair and bent against the side of women. A lady worker in Uganda recently wrote an article with the title, "To be a woman in Uganda is risky business." I could say the same for many, many other women around the world. Think of the workload. It is believed that in Africa, especially in rural areas, women perform 36 tasks daily. You heard it right, 36. A neighbor of ours used to joke that she was really grateful to God who created the night, because at least she could have a few hours to rest. She still went to bed last and woke up first. In addition to the workload, women go through the risk of contracting diseases due to lack of control over their bodies and the healthcare system, which is controlled by men. Women are at risk of dying at childbirth because they do not have control reproductive options. Women are the ones who feed the families, but they do not own the productive means, land and capital. In many developing countries, women do not have an option of inheriting from their parents, especially when it comes to land. But they are the ones who work the land, but do not control or cannot have a say over the harvest. Women, like my mom, work kilometers to get water. But when it is being decided where to put a water point, they are not asked. A strange world. And this situation is still prevalent in many, many places of the world in 2018. And every woman who has ever been asked what she needed for her dignity, for her to be a proud contributing member of the society, she said, they say, they want to be treated fairly. They want to have access to means of production. They want to have opportunities that education can offer. For centuries, they have said the same thing to men, and men pretended to listen, but acted very little. And not much has happened. Studies after studies show that educated women ensure that their children go to school. They tend to live healthy lives because they have access to information. They can feed their children with nutritious food. And they can make sure they have a bright future. And when money is in the hands of women, the whole family seems to do better. Yet, in 2018, to be a woman is still risky business. What can we do about that? We are called to respond in some way as human beings, as a faith community of Unitarian Universalists, and we need to take risks along women. I was recently in Nepal attending the International Council of Unitarian Universalists Council meeting, and we were reminded during that meeting that to stand for our values, it still looked with suspicion. is really taking risk. Many people have been cut off from their families, from their friends, obviously from their former religious communities. But despite those challenges, our movement has always been on the side of marginalized groups, and women are one of them. By recognizing the inherent worth and dignity of every person, by allowing the democratic process in our institutions, in our congregations and the world, we invite the world to hear women voices, to believe women's stories, to meet women's needs, to fight women's fights, and to value women's contribution. Doing this work may sound simple. It's not. Women certainly know that. Because we need to go outside our comfort zones, both men and women. Women need to go out of boxes in which society have constrained them in. Women need to claim their spaces. They need to invite themselves in conversations. And we, by women I mean men, we are invited to be their accomplices and help them fight their fights. It is still risky for all concerned, because the reality is that the current is still against those values. By proclaiming the fairness and equal treatment of everyone, we are swimming against the current of businesses who are not happy when women take a maternity leave which is too long. Our traditional societies are not ready. They don't want patriarchy and toxic masculinity to be challenged. As I reflected on this theme of Women's International Day, I found myself going back to the Me Too Time's Up campaign. The reports I've been reading or hearing are troubling on many levels. It's troubling to see power unchecked. It's troubling to see women's stories not being believed. It's troubling to see women's lives being shattered by powerful men who go unpunished. It's concerning to see women's livelihoods, reputation, public persona gone because they took the risk to challenge the status quo. Digging deep and looking from a larger perspective, I think it denotes something about our society. The scripts were given. Women weak, whose stories should not be believed. Men strong, who are the winners of the game of life. And these scripts die very hard. I personally did not have to work hard to see the same patterns in my cultures, both male culture and African culture, and see the different understandings about consent, about power sharing, about role fluidity, and how far we can go, or I am prepared to go, to respect people's decisions. In Burundi, my country, it's not rare, especially in rural areas, to see girls going to church or going to the market and never come back. Because some young men decided with the help of their friends to take them home. The next thing you know, they are married. It's done deal. I went to the boarding school, and one of them was a mixed boarding school. The culture was that a girl's no never means no. It's actually an invitation to work harder and smarter. The code was that overcoming a girl's objection is actually romantic and sexy. And mind you, that's for men who went to school. Those are people my age who are all today running organizations and government policies. Just imagine for a second, people in my remote and small village who never went to school, who only hear the voices of priests, who wrote the script you are fighting against today, who hear the voice of pastors, and who hear the voices of traditional men. It can be troubling on many levels. Here in Canada, a scene on TV that I watched recently showed a journalist talking with young girls about the news of sexual harassment. Young boys refused to come on camera. And when the journalist asked the young girls, do young boys get it? They said in unison, no, they don't. There is a lot of work to be done, but it's about our society engaging ourselves to relate differently. It's really not just about men and women. It's about how power is managed, how competition is viewed, and how to adjust the old script and write a new empowering one. It's about how we view success and generosity. Our species is strange. We are even stingy to the point of refusing to give away things which are infinite, like love, empathy, compassion. I think we need a revolution. A revolution that will bring about a different world in which people relate differently. What will our presence look like in that revolution? What role will education play? What role will religious organizations play? They sure played a role in writing the scripts we believed in. The picture may seem bleak, but I believe we can play a role, even a small one. If you have a woman in your life, a wife, a partner, a sister, a mother, an aunt, a niece, a grandmother, a cousin, they need your presence at this time. As they dream big, as they claim their space, as they invite themselves in the conversation, and they test the freedom that they greatly deserve. It's not the first time that they have rocked the boat, but the currents are still strong, and this moment we need to be sustained by collective engagement. And if you have men in your lives, fathers, husbands, sons, partners, uncles, grandfathers, sons, nephews, and cousins, they too need your presence. What a shame to carry when what people taught us, what the church taught us, what our families taught us, what Hollywood movies taught us, turn out to be harmful. And some men do not know how to engage and sustain a conversation on these issues. So they need to be given skills and a room for that to happen. When I look at these stories and the treatment that women receive in 2018, I tend to get some strength by looking back and cherishing the already won battles. Yes, women can vote. Yes, women have a bank account. Yes, some battles have been won. And these positive developments that has happened over a few past decades, we can cherish them. But we will look at them and say, the war is not won yet. Just a few battles. I will not surprise anyone by saying that when it comes to women's rights, there is no golden age to be nostalgic about. There is only a future to envision. There is a momentum to sustain and a change to bring about. But make no mistake. As I said, this is not about women. It's about all of us and our society. A society that has a strong tendency, especially in times of crisis, to go to our lowest instincts, greed, fear, resentment, need to control, and a strong propensity to competition. Each society has to have its own groups to discriminate against. It's women, it's blacks, it's immigrants, it's indigenous peoples, sometimes it's all of them. This is why there is a constant need for human beings to be reminded of our highest ideals. Our society will be better off when every member of society contributes, and that contribution is received with love. I also like to go back to our basic tenets of our shared humanity. A society where interconnectedness is one of our strongest beliefs. When my pain is also someone else's pain, where my success is also someone else's success, where both failure and success are shared, where we cultivate a sense of abundance from the point of view of material things, but also intangible things that you can freely give away and still be fine. Who wouldn't like to live in a world where people will be there for him or her no matter what? That is the community we need to build. We have the tools to do that as individuals, as community, but also as Unitarian Universalists. And we can confidently say that we have enough work to do for everyone. We are called to build a society in which everyone is respected. A society which is for women, a society which is for children, a society which is for humanity, a society which is for our planet. Amen and blessed be.